Hello and welcome to another edition of Fool's Wisdom with Pastor Alwyn Wall, teaching in the book of Acts. Today we're in the final chapter of Acts, that's Acts 28.
Acts chapter 28. Now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. The King James Bible says, and a barbarous people showed us no little unkindness. So we've had the shipwreck, you remember, and now they've been shipwrecked onto this island and they've discovered it's the island of Malta. And it says there in the King James, a barbarous people showed us no little unkindness. So when we think of barbarian, well, we think, people walking around with, clubs and spears. That's not what's actually going on here. The Greeks called anyone who didn't speak Greek barbars. That's what they call them. Sort of a Greek slang for anybody who couldn't speak Greek. So we'd be barbars. And they believed that their language was the most beautiful and poetic flowing language that ever existed. So if you didn't speak Greek, you were a barbar. And so that's how it sounded to them, ba ba ba, that's gibberish. And so they called any non-Greek speaking people barbarians. And it's not necessarily that they were, kind of uncivilized. It was just they didn't speak Greek. They're on the island of Malta, and they were kind to us. Luke is the writer of the gospel. For they kindled a fire and made us all welcome, because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, and I like this here because they ignite fires to warm. They went through, they've been through this shipwreck and they're soaked. So what does Paul do? He didn't say, I told you this was going to happen. He just gets on with it. And I like it here. He's not saying, I was the one who told you this was going to happen. We're going to have this, this, and this, but we're all going to be saved. And he didn't go on about it. He just started to serve. And I just like that about the Apostle Paul. Here he is. He wasn't saying, where's my Ovaltine and where's my personalized robe? He wasn't saying that attitude at all. He saw some guys lighting fires and he starts to help and warm others. He starts gathering sticks. Although Paul has this great ministry as an apostle, he wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty and do some work. And I really like that about this. And really, I think Paul is an example of what a minister should be like. He was willing to work with his hands. And I don't think that God ever intended. Sometimes you get into some fellowships, and they have pastor's day and they put you on a throne. And we're going to do this on Sunday. The pastor, No, Paul was a guy that just wanted to serve. He wanted to be and he's a great example of a minister. And I think this is how a minister should be. And he looked for the opportunity to serve others. He gathers sticks, puts them on the fire, just wanting to minister. And what happens? He's got a heart to serve. He wants to serve and be a blessing to people, represent Jesus Christ. And what happens? There came a viper. Because of the heat, came out of the sticks and fastened onto his hand. So the snake was in the sticks, unbeknown to Paul. And take note of this whole scenario here, because notice that it was while Paul was simply seeking to minister and to be an example of Jesus Christ and to serve others and be a blessing, that's when the serpent strikes. And you can be sure, too, you can be sure in your life also, that's when the serpent is going to strike. That's when he's going to strike you. When you want to start serving and loving people, when you want to start being a witness and just showing the love of Jesus and trying to be a witness for Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, from out of the fires of hell, Satan will come and he'll take a pop at you. You know that, don't you? He'll most likely put his fangs into you when you're trying to be a blessing, when you're trying to represent the Lord. That's when he will come and attack you. And you're there thinking, I'm trying to do my best here and Satan's come. And so make no mistake about it, that's when he's going to come. Now, of course, Paul at this point could have said, oh man, isn't that just typical? Here I am, Lord, I'm a missionary, I'm a Christian missionary, I'm serving you, and now this happens, boo-hoo. Feel sorry for me, it's not fair. Where's God? I've got a stain on me, new shirt, you know. What does Paul do? Let's find out what he does in this situation. He's been attacked here. He's trying to serve the Lord. But when the natives, verse 4, saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. He's escaped the storm, but he must be a bad guy. You know, fate's after him. He's you know, he must be a bad guy, else this wouldn't have happened to him." And people are interesting, isn't it? We're a funny lot, you know, aren't we, people? When the snake strikes either you or in your, when the serpent comes against you in your circumstances, it's inevitable that some people along the way are going to say, "Oh my, you must be a really bad, you've done something really bad. You're wicked. You must be doing something, you're doing something sinful. I've seen it because you've got a smile on your face and you're never happy as a Christian if you're not doing something sinful. You must be doing something, else you wouldn't be so happy. This wouldn't be happening to you. If a snake would be hanging from your hand if you were doing the Lord's will, nothing would go wrong if you're doing the Lord's will." And they said concerning Paul, "He must be a murderer, else this wouldn't have never happened to him." And the same is true in our lives. There you are, just when you're seeking to represent the Lord, you're trying to get on with it, and then something hits you in your life that causes other people to think, "Wow, you know, he must be out of God's will. Must be out of God's will for something like that to happen to you. He must be a terror. You know, he's got a secret life somewhere." And then we cry out, "Lord, what's going on?" Don't we, as Christians? We think, "Man alive, here I am. What's going on, Lord? I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to do my best. And then this has come into my life. All of a sudden, everything's going wrong." Well, what is it? Well, it's simply the attack of the enemy. Welcome to the world of spiritual warfare. That's what it is. Whenever God begins to come alive in our hearts, whenever God comes alive in us, and he begins to move in our lives and the lives of his people, the moment that you get touched by the Spirit and start to serve and start to love people, you can know for sure that you're going to get attacked. The enemy doesn't like you when you're moving forward in the Lord. It's inevitable that Satan's going to launch a crusade and attack against you, and that the fiery darts of hell are going to come your way. Beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. First Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Don't think that's something strange. It means something when this kind of thing happens. It means that you've been targeted. It means that you're starting to move in the enemy's territory and he doesn't like it. You've been marked by the devil and he sees you now. Because you're moving forward in the Lord, he sees you as a man or a woman that has to be stopped. God is moving and Satan wants to put a stop to that. And if Satan can't take your salvation away from you, what he will do is he will neutralize you as a Christian to stop you going forward. If he can just neutralize you so that you lose interest in things spiritual, or you start to back off and you don't witness, or you don't want to be a witness. If Satan can do that, then that's what it's exactly how he works. It's interesting that after Jesus was baptized in water, after the Holy Spirit came upon him, that anointing of the Spirit in Jesus' life was for Jesus now to move ahead in his ministry and to fulfill the ministry as Messiah that God had called him to, and to make an impact in people's lives. Just after the Spirit came upon Jesus to empower him for ministry and service, that's what the baptism of the Spirit is all about, to empower you for ministry and service, and to begin to have an impact in other people's lives, so that out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water, so that people just get drenched by the love of Jesus when they meet you. That's the baptism of the Spirit. It's interesting to note that immediately after Jesus was baptized in the Spirit and was beginning to enter into his ministry, straight away after that, he was in the wilderness for 40 days doing battle with the devil, wasn't he? Oftentimes, people are caught by surprise. They say, "You know, I had this great time with the Lord a few weeks ago and, you know, just a few days, and I've been filled, you know, I just sense the Lord's power in my life and I'm just excited about Jesus. The Spirit came upon me. I'm just ready to serve. I want to represent Jesus Christ. I want my life to be lived out for him." And we've got this attitude going in our hearts. But then what happens? Make no mistake about it. "Oh, my boyfriend deserted me. Doesn't want me to be like this. My girlfriend deserted me. My boss fired me, you know. My house got burgled, or the car, you know, somebody's keyed my car, you know. Problems in the family, problems here, whatever it may be, it seems like all the powers of hell have been let loose on your life because you're just simply trying to move forward in God." Well, Peter says, Don't look at that as being something strange. It's not strange that would happen. You've entered into and been introduced now because you're moving ahead with the Lord. You have now been introduced to what the Bible calls spiritual warfare. That's it. When you become a Christian, filled with the Spirit of God, wanting to serve God, make no doubt, no mistake about it. Once you start to make an impact for the Lord and begin to have an influence and start infringing on the devil's territory and starting influencing people towards Jesus Christ, it won't be long before the devil will throw everything he can at you. He'll attack you because you've got a passion for the Lord. And you now become a serious threat to him. And you're influencing people who are now on his side, but they're thinking and they're contemplating what you're talking about, Jesus, and the devil's going to come against that. Don't be afraid of that. And don't think it is something strange that's happening. Because although the devil hates you and wants to destroy you and destroy your witness, the Lord loves you and his protection is upon you. When the serpent comes to bite, as it did here with Paul, seeking to serve, wanting to be a blessing, wanting to represent the Lord, he gets hit by the deadly serpent. But what does Paul do when he gets hit? Look what he does. Verse 5, but he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. When the serpent hit him and sank his fangs into Paul, Paul just shook it off, Notice how Paul didn't make a big deal about what happened to him. He didn't make a big fuss about it. He didn't sulk in a corner. He didn't go off sulking and feeling sorry for himself. Why did this happen to me? What's happening to me in my life? And sulking. He simply shook it off and carried on. And that's how we have to be sometimes. We have to be just like this sometimes. When it seems that everything is against us and things come across our path that are difficult, things that are unpleasant, things that are not easy, just realize, you know what? You know what it is? It's spiritual warfare. And hey, that's life. This is how life is sometimes. Everybody has this. It's not just you. We tend to think, oh, it's just happening to me. There's only me going through anything. And we start to sulk. And though it's tough right now in your life, it will change. Everybody goes through stuff. Everybody. And it won't always be like this. This is just a season. Life has its seasons. And the Lord is still on the throne. He's in control of our lives. And he simply shook it off. And he just continued doing what the Lord was got him to do, and he was just seeking to be a witness. But he shook it off. He shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, verse 6, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds. And now they said, he's a god. One minute, he's an evil, wicked murderer. But then, when they didn't see any ill effects from the bite, they began to say he was a god. People are fickle, aren't they? It's true. He's a horrible murderer. Now he's a god. It's a bit like being a footballer, you know. It used to be that every time your announcer would announce his name, everybody would cheer, you know. Oh, great. Beckham or whatever. Rooney, whoo, you know. Get excited. Can't, you know, just want to see this guy knock the ball around. Or Ronaldo. You watch when Ronaldo comes on the pitch next time. Boo-boo! Last year he was the savior of Manchester. Now, watch out, Ronaldo. It doesn't take long for when the name is announced, everybody starts to boo. You know, that's how fickle we are. He hasn't lived up to our expectations. And if you're seeking glory from the world, man, be prepared. And it's the same in ministry, you know. It's exactly the same in ministry. One minute you can be somebody's hero, the best thing. Oh, since sliced bread, you're the best. And then the next minute, then when they don't get what they want out of you, man alive, suddenly you become the most hated person in the world. You're used of the devil. And flattery, you know, from other people is such a fickle thing. It's nice to be appreciated. I'm not saying that. We should appreciate one another. And if we appreciate one another, we should tell people we appreciate them. But if you get involved in ministry simply so that you can gain favor and gain strokes from people, man, watch out, because along with the fans, you're going to have those who can't stand you. I'm not saying that's happening to me here. No, don't get me wrong here. But if that's why you want to be in ministry and want to get, you know, to be in ministry and seem to be a pastor or something, to gain favor with others, then believe me, you won't last very long at all if that's why you get into ministry. If you just want to be seen to be something, you won't last. Because as many as people who say, oh, that was, I appreciate you, Pastor. There's as many who say, hey, man, you're a creep, so you've got to be careful. Fickle crowd, fickle. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their mind and said he was a god. Now, so the natives thought he was a murderer. Now he's a god. Truth is, he was neither. And these people here have the same mentality as some folks today. And if things are going good for you, then you must be righteous. If things are going bad for you, that means that you're not in the will of God. And that doctrine's going around the church every weekend. And if you get bitten by the serpent or something goes wrong in your life that way or in your circumstances, you must not be living right. There must be a problem. Or if you get sick or something, it must be because you haven't got faith. It's your fault. Your fault. And people think that way these days. But that's not the way it is. Just because you're a Christian, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be always well and you're going to be healthy and prosperous all the time. That's misleading. That's so misleading. There's an overemphasis, and they take half-truths and they make it into a doctrine. It's not the truth. They say you shouldn't ever be smitten by the snake. You should never be sick. You should always be prospering. The barbarians knew about these snakes. Those on the island, they lived with these snakes. They understood the danger of the venom of these snakes. These are deadly snakes on that island. They know the pain that these things can cause. You may have been times when they are in their own families, there may have been times when they saw their loved ones who have been killed by these snakes. They've been through this stuff. They know what it's like. And now they were able to see how Paul, this man of God, great man of God, how are you going to handle it, Mr. Christian, now you've gone through what we've gone through? See what I mean? How do you handle it, Mr. Christian, when you and your family have an illness come into your family? See how you handle it. See? Make no mistake about it. The Lord will at times allow you to go through difficulties. The doctor may well say, there's nothing more that we can do in your family. And no matter how much you name it and claim it, man, it may be the Lord's plan for you to deal with it in such a way that those doubters and skeptics can see how you respond to it, the man of God, the woman of God in your life, who are losing loved ones from cancer when it comes our way. For them to see the way that you shake it off and how you deal with it, like they had to with their grandma or their auntie died, or their parents. How do you deal with it, Christian? They want to see if you'll shake it off and continue serving the Lord like the Apostle Paul did in the face of such terrible difficulty. So through that, their mind is changed about the things of God and what the people of God are really like. When they can see that quality in your life, that you shake it off and you get on with it, trusting the Lord in all circumstances. Not because you were never sick or you never had any problems, because, oh, you name it and claim it, but because the fact that when you were sick and when you did have problems, how well you were able to handle it when in that situation when the serpent hit you like he hits them. Jesus says, touch my wounds. He didn't say, Thomas, I'm the Son of God. I'm never going to suffer because I'm the King's kid. He didn't say that. Touch my wounds, my scars, my pain. Thomas. It was then that Thomas cried out, my God, my Lord, my God. It's then also when you're able to say to people, you know, I've been hit by that too. That happened to me in my life. Or I've been hit by setbacks and bankruptcy in my life also. I've experienced that, what you're going through. I've been there. Whatever it might be, that's when the doubting Thomases around your life can see where you're at and how you handle it and how the Lord is still the main thing in your life. Even when it's when you've been where they're at and you're still standing as a man and woman of God, that's what gains respect from people. Look how he still loves his God, despite of all that stuff that he's been through. He's been through the same kind of stuff I've been through, man. And he's still hanging in there with the Lord. His God is very real to him. There's a power in his life because of his faith, despite the stuff he's been through. Because there's something different in the way that you're dealing with the situation than the way that they had no hope. They had nothing. You've got something. Maybe you're praying for somebody in your family right now. You may be praying for a family member or some neighbors or somebody that you work with. Then know this. Perhaps the only way they're going to see the reality of Jesus in your life is when the snake strikes you and they see how you deal with it. When Christians are prospering, that's not usually the way in which the world is impacted, and that's not the way that people are drawn to Jesus Christ. It's when Christians suffer like they suffer, and yet you're able to shake it off and not let the situation overwhelm you and take you down. That's when unbelievers are more likely to change their mind and say, you know what, there's something out of the ordinary about this person. There's something about him. And perhaps the richest ministry you will ever have in your life, in the lives of other people, is when the snake hits you and people get to see how you react to the very same pain that others have gone through and what other people are going through all of the time. It's in the difficulty, you know. It's in the adversity. That allows the opportunity for people being able to see the reality of Jesus Christ and what it really means in your life. Paul shook it off. He kept going. And now Paul at this point is just living out the promise that was given by Jesus, isn't he? Mark chapter 16, verse 17. These signs will follow those who believe. You'll cast out demons. You'll speak with tongues. They'll take up serpents and drink any deadly thing, and it will not hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I do not believe that this is a promise that is given to the snake handling church. I'm going to bring some snakes next time. We can just check it out and see if we want to do this. And Rico, you can volunteer for this one. I do believe that this promise that was given by Jesus specifically is for this kind of situation, exactly as it is here. I don't believe that this promise, taking up serpents, has anything to do with those churches in the States, particularly in the States. In order to prove God's existence, they test God. That's tempting God. You know, I want to handle this snake, and if I get bit, then if I die, then, you know, God's not real. Or if I survive, then that proves that God's real. That's just testing God, tempting God. That's not what the promise is for. The promise that was made there in Mark's gospel is in the context of serving God, being sent out. Those who have been sent out and got the call of God to be a missionary, those out in the world serving the Lord, that's who this promise is for. That's the context of this promise being made. Jesus just said, you know, go out into all the world. And then he went on to make these promises. And you're not going to go out and drink something deadly and expect God to keep you from being poisoned. No, here's some full-blown Coca-Cola. You know, test God here. No, it's not taking poison and prudent. What this promise is saying that if something does happen to you while you're out there in God's service, and if you happen to drink or eat something poisonous, if you're bitten by a deadly virus or something like that, then if it's not time for you to die and God has got a call on your life to fulfill a ministry, then God's protection. God will take care of you because he's not finished with you yet. And here, Paul is a perfect example of that promise being fulfilled. And this is what the promise of Jesus is all about. He was bitten by this viper, but the Lord had something more for him to do. And so the Lord's protection was over his life. And that promise is made in Mark's. It's in the context of those who are out serving God. God is saying, I'll take care of you. If you've got a call and something like this happens, I'll be the one who sustains you there. I'll be the one who takes care of you. Sometimes people say, how come we're not seeing more signs and wonders and healings? Why isn't God moving like he used to? After all, didn't Jesus say this? You're going to see signs and they're going to cast out demons, take up serpents, no deadly thing, and they're going to be speaking in tongues and healing. And look at the context. Jesus said we would see these things in the context of being going out into the world and preaching the gospel. That's the context of these promises being fulfilled. The signs, the people who are living on the edge for the Lord, people who are out there involved in ministry, getting the word out to people who have never heard it, going to places that people have never been. That's the context of that promise. Jesus wasn't talking just about people getting together, having a Holy Ghost happening. I've been in churches so many times when they have the Holy Ghost happenings. Ooh, you know, electricity. No, the Lord's saying that as you get out there doing this job of telling the world about Jesus Christ and going and putting your life on the edge, when you're going to need a miracle, when you're going to be right there needing something from the Lord, that's when I'm going to be flowing through you, God says. I'm going to be flowing through you in a powerful way when that happens. I'll be doing those special miracles. That's when you'll see these kinds of things. So if a person comes and says, how come we're not seeing more signs and wonders? And why isn't God moving in this way that he says so here? Well, I would say maybe you should go out of your comfort zone then. Maybe get out of your comfort zone. Put your life on the line and minister and preach the gospel. Go teach, making disciples of all nations. Put yourself out there. Go on put your life on the line. Go to Russia. Go to China. Go to India, Mexico, South America. Go preach the gospel. Put yourself in a situation where you're going to need some miracles. And then watch and see what the Lord's going to do through you as he's calling you to that ministry. when it's going to take a miracle to get you through, that's when you'll see a miracle. God doesn't waste miracles. It's not a sideshow. That's when the miracles are going to happen. These blessings, it's following the preaching of the word when you're going out into the world. But if we're coming into some little Holy Ghost thing, you know, Holy Ghost meeting, and you're waiting for God to move, and, you know, we've got to see a sign, else God's not here if we don't see a sign, or somebody doesn't speak in tongues. Jesus is saying, no, as you're moving along in ministry, man, as you're serving, that's when the Lord's going to be working through your life, enabling you to take care of in supernatural ways. So that's the context.
You've been listening to Pastor Alwyn Ward. You can hear more from Pastor Alwyn at our website, www.calvarylondon.co.uk. That's calvarylondon.co.uk.